In Likutei Moran Tanina, Rabbein Nizal begins, Kishebo Sefer Chodosh Li'olam, when a new Sefer comes into the world, and Rabbein Nizal here is obviously referring to Sforim, in which Chidushei Torah are presented. New concepts in Torah, or new revelations in Torah, are going to be brought forth. For example, like a Likutei Moran, a Likutei Halachos, a Tanya, other Sforim, Horeishis Chochma, these other Sforim, which draw on the Gemara, the Medrash, and other items, and yet they bring out new concepts in Torah, new concepts or new drachim to come close to Hashem, etc. Rabbein Nizal explains now, V'zeh mevur etzleinu. This is an item which has already been explained in our Sforim. That what? Sheyesh chidushim shenasn al yedei demois. There are chidushim that are brought forth with tears. Kemuva besimen reish samach beis. As is explained in Torah reish samach beis and Likutei Moran, which we're about to discuss. We'll get back to it in a second. Azai Rabbein Nizal says, then, Elu hademois shel hachidushim, these tears that are associated with these chidushim, with these new items of Torah, shemehem naaseh ha-sefer ha-chodosh, from these two, from the tears and the chidushim, are brought forth this new sefer, heim oimdim keneged gzeirois ha-umois umavatlon. These tears, alongside of these chidushim, stand in opposition to any decrees brought out against the Yidden by the nations of the world, and these tears help to nullify those decrees, those harsh gezeros that are brought forth by these Umay Salam. Because we know, the Sforim HaKadoshim explain, that in Shamayim there is a Bezdin, and there are basically two opposing forces. There's the Yidden, the Jews, versus the other 70 nations. This one sheep against 70 wolves. And these 70 wolves are represented in heaven by 70 angels. There are actual angels that represent them. The Gemara discusses some of these angels. For example, the Malach Reish Hei Beis, whom the Gemara says was once the Sar Shel Mitzrayim, and then his position, his status in Shamayim got changed. As we once pointed out, that the Pasuk says, Vesroid Fehem Hishlachtavim Tzailois, Kamayevan Bamayamazim. Hashem threw down the Roitavim Tzailois, is a remez to this Sar Shel Mitzrayim, which the Gemara tells us that when the Mitzrayim were defeated, he got knocked down. This Malach got pushed down a lot of levels in heaven from his original stature to what he was at this point. So we see that in front of the heavenly court, there's this battle between the Yidden and the Goyim. The Goyim are looking to be Mekatreg against the Yidden, and this is what the Yidden have to contend with. We have to constantly be watching out for these bullets flying from all of these Umay Salam who are looking to get harsh decrees issued against us. Now, how can they do this? Whenever we're bad, whenever we're doing Averois, Rachmon al-Son, or doing other things like that, these nations, or the angels that represent these angels in Shemayim, are watching us, and they're just looking for an opening, an excuse, to come to Hashem and complain, look how bad they are. Just like when the Yidden were crossing the Yam Suf, and the Gemara says that the Sar Shel Yam said, Halolo Oiv De'Avoydezora, Halolo Oiv De'Avoydezora. The Sar Shel Yam wanted to bring out an evil decree against the Yidden. This angel who represented the ocean wanted to say, why should the Jews be saved as they're going through the Red Sea? What are they any different from the Mitzrayim? This Kitrug that brings out these gzeros, these harsh decrees against the Yidden, Rabbein Nizal says you should know that one of the items that stands tall to block it is the tears that are associated with Chidushei Torah. Now, if we can, we're going to go back for a moment to review in brief, I'll say it outside if possible, the Torah Reish Samach Beis, chapter 262 in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, where there Rabbein Nizal explains that you should know that when a person brings forth Chidushei Torah, he's actually creating rivers. Rabbein Nizal proves this from a pasuk. There's a pasuk that says, Rabbein Nizal explains, because when a person first begins to bring forth Chidushei Torah, then it starts out as a well that's shooting up water, like a geyser in a sense. As the pasuk says, Umayon mi beis Hashem yetzei, that a well comes forth from the beis Hashem. What is the Beis Hashem? The Beis Hashem is a nickname for the brain. There's a pasuk b'chochma yivne bayis. So we see chochma seichel is referred to as a bayis at sometimes. Umayon mi Beis Hashem yetzei means a mayon comes forth from a Jew's head when he's studying Torah, especially when he's being mechadish Torah. And Rabbeinu Zal says, in the beginning, this Mayon starts off as a very narrow, thin, little stream. And then, as the person grows, as his chidushei Torah grow, the stream widens and becomes bigger and greater until it becomes an actual river, a full-fledged river. And Rabbeinu Zal says, all kinds of spiritual beings come to drink from these rivers. Malachim of Kedusha and Malachim of Klipa, Malachim of Tuma, come to drink from these rivers. Therefore, Rabbeinu Zal says, if a person wants to be mechadish true chidushei Torah, he better see to it to take out an insurance policy first, to protect his chidushei Torah from having any negative effect. What's the protection? The protection is to see to it to cry to Hashem before his mechadish in Torah, to cry to Hashem, begging Hashem to help him be zeicher to learn the right way, to come close to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal says, what these tears do is they protect these rivers. They place a protective coating around these rivers so that the klipas cannot, the forces of tuma cannot draw from these rivers any more than they're supposed to. And Rabbeinu Zal brings a pasuk to support this. The pasuk says, "Mibchi nehorais chovash," that the tachbashis, the bandage around the river, is these tears. These tears serve as a protection around the rivers to see to it that the klipas should not be able to draw more than they're supposed to. Rabbeinu Zal says, this is why you note that the Hebrew word that denotes a sefer of chidushei Torah, for example, the Sfarim of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara, the word that we use to nickname a Gemara is a Mesechta. Rabbeinu Zal says the term Mesechta comes from a pasuk which says, V'shikuvai b'vchi mosochti, my drink with tears I water down. Like, for example, in the olden days, they had wine that was very, very strong, the actual wine itself, and they would be meizig the wine, they would mix it with water to bring it to just the right strength, just the right power, where it's drinkable and it's tasty, etc., etc. The pasuk here says that I water my shikuvai, my chidushei Torah, I water them down, I dilute it with b'chi, with tears. Dilute it, meaning to perfect it. The process of dilution here is intended to be something that gives a shleimus to something. I give a shleimus to my chidushei Torah by having this insurance policy, you know, put in to protect it. And Rabbeinu Zal brings that about this. The pasuk says, "Al naharois bovel shom yoshavnu gam bochinu." Naharois bovel. Bovel refers to Talmud Bavli. Bavli, bovel was the main place from where came forth chidushei Torah. The Talmud Bavli is the ikar center, the ikar mokor of all chidushei Torah that we have today. Al naharois bovel, from this Talmud Bavli is created naharois, rivers. Shom yoshavnu, we sat there learning Torah. Yeshiva is an inyan of a mokom of Torah. Gam bochinu, but we also made sure to cry, because the crying is what served as a protection to protect these chidushei Torah from any harm. And this is what Rabbeinu Zal says in Torah Resh Samach Beis. Now, going back to the Torah that we're up to, Torah Lamed and Likutei Moran Tanina, Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that when a new sefer comes into the world, and these chidushim that are in this sefer are formed the right way through tears, they have this insurance policy associated with them. These tears, then this sefer hachodosh, with these tears, stands up against the gezeirois of the Umay Salem, of the nations of the world, and it smavatel them, it nullifies them. Now, Rabbeinu Zal explains, v'hadovor mevur, this item could be explained very well, ki kol koichom hi min hademois shel Esav, the whole power that the Satan wields over us today, the majority of all the suffering that Klal Yisrael suffers from today is based on the tears of Esav HaRosha. The fact that the Torah tells us that when Esav HaRosha found out that Yaakov Avinu had taken away the Bechira from him, that Yaakov Avinu had tricked the birthright, had tricked the bracha away from him, that the bracha, which it appeared that Yitzchak Avinu was going to give to Esav Harosha, Yaakov Avinu came in under the guise, presenting himself as though he was Esav, and he took the bracha. And when Esav Harosha found out about this, and the Torah says, Vayisa eskoiloi vayefk, he picked up his voice, and he cried to Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh and all the Mefarshim tell us that it's because of those tears that Esav HaRosha cried that time. We know that Tefillah itself is very powerful. The Tefillah of HaRosha is very, very powerful. Try to imagine if Tefillah is very powerful, imagine what tears is. Because tears is the most powerful form of Tefillah. Shifchi kamayim libech noichach panei Hashem. This pouring forth of these waters of tears, this represents the highest form of Tefillah possible, as we're about to explain. Therefore, the Mefarshim point out that it's from these tears of Esav HaRosha, that's where the beginning of all the problems of the Yidden began. So that any time that we see Esav having any power over Yaakov, or over the Bnei Yaakov, it stems from this puddle of tears that Esav shed at that time. Now, where in the Torah do we find another example where because of the wrong kind of tears, Rachmona Litzlan, that's the basis for the majority of the suffering of Klal Yisrael? The answer is Tisha B'Av, the Meraglim. Because the Yidden cried a Bechiah of Esav HaRosha. It was a wrong kind of Bechiah, it was a wrong kind of crying. That resulted, the Gemara says, Hashem said, because the Jews are crying now for nothing, when these spies came back and gave a bad report about Eretz Yisrael, where they should have spoken about Eretz Yisrael as the place of the Noyam Ho'elyon, the greatest sweetness, and they came back and gave a bad report about Eretz Yisrael, and the Yidden allowed themselves to accept this, Rachman Al-Son, and they cried about this at a time when they should have been singing and dancing. There is a crying of Kedusha. Rabbein Ezal brings in another Tarnei Kutamaran that the first letters of B'Shimcha Yegilun Kol Hayoin, the first letters of that pasuk make up Bechiah. There is a crying of happiness. You find parents sometimes go to a wedding and they're crying there. Is that a crying of Atzlus, of depression? That's a Bechiah Shel Simcha. They should have been crying there from happiness. Instead, they chose to cry, Rachmana Litzlan, the wrong type of crying, the Bechiah of Atzlus, of Marashchera, of Sitra Achra, of Esav HaRosha. The majority of the suffering that we have today is based on these two cases where there was this wrong kind of crying. When Esav HaRosha cried, and we know the Torah tells us, Ula'oim Milayim Ye'emotz, that the Yidden and the Goyim Lahavdol are on two ends of a seesaw. When this one does a good deed, it registers as a minus for the other one. When this one does a good deed, it registers as a minus for this one. So that when Esav HaRosha did this spectacular deed of crying for the right reason, in a sense, this caused a downfall, Rachman al-Islam. This imposes suffering on the Yidden, Rachman al-Islam. Whereas, when the Yidden cry for the wrong reasons, Rachman al-Islam, there again, this imposes suffering on them. So now let's pause here for a second. You see this gimel here in parentheses. This points you to the Zohar HaKadosh in Shmois, Daf Yud Beis Amid Beis. And the Zohar HaKadosh here is easy enough to read and to understand and worthwhile enough for us to be able to just quote this one paragraph in the Zohar HaKadosh that's spectacular, where you'll get to hear how the Zohar HaKadosh writes about Hispoididus and how the Zohar HaKadosh writes about Hispoididus with tears. This is the Zohar HaKadosh in Shmois, Daf Yud Beis. Omar Rabbi Huda said, Kol milin di alma talyan b'tshuva u'b'tzleisa d'tzali barnosh l'kutche b'richutlu. Everything in this world, in other words, anything good in this world, any success of Klal Yisrael, depends on tshuva and the tefillah which the Yidden daven before Hashem. The cholshkein manda oishid demayon b'tzleisei, and especially any person who is zeichet to shed tears in his tefillah, the lesloch tara de loy olin inundami. There doesn't exist a gate in heaven that's able to withstand the koyach of tears. There isn't a shar in shomayim that's strong enough that if it were locked, it could hold back these tears come blasting right through to the shechina, to the kisya kovoy. The Zohar Kodesh says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Maksiv, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was 3 months old, his mother took him and put him in a basket, and she put him in the water. She put him in the water. Maksiv, what does it say there? Vatiftach, that Basio Basparoi came down. She was coming down to Tevel herself at that time, to be Megayer, to convert. She opened up the box. Vatirehu es hayeled, and she saw this child. Vatiftach, Vatirehu es hayeled. She opened it, and she saw the child. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Vatiftach, she opened it. Do Shechinta. The verb to open, that verb represents the Shechina. Dekaima al Ayudi Israel ki'imo al benin. This Shechina which stands over the Yidden, like a mother standing over her children. Vehi poscho todir bizchusein de Israel. And the Shechina always opens up with the praises of the Yidden. The Shechina kavyochel is always standing before Hashem, opening its mouth, singing the praises of Eden. So this term, Vatiftach, here represents the Shechina. Vatir'eyu es hayeled, she saw the child. Which child does this also refer to? The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Yeled Sha'ashuim. This refers to the Klal Yisrael, which as a whole is called the beloved child of Hashem. The Inun Yisrael, this refers to the Yidden, the Mischaton Kamei Malkehoin, or Kamei Morehoin, the Yidden who confess their sins before Hashem, and they Bekol, the Mischaton Kamei Malkehoin Bekolo, they confess all their sins before Hashem, they open up their hearts completely to Hashem. Umiyad, the Mischananan Kamei Kotche Berichu, and as soon as the Yidden begin to daven to Hashem, what's the immediate result of this tefillah? Hadri B'tshuva. This tefillah results in tshuva, as we say on Rosh Hashanah, utshuva tefillah tzedaka. The tefillah goes together with tshuva. Tefillah leads into tshuva. So as soon as the yitten start pouring out their heart in hispididus, confessing their sins to Hashem, this automatically leads them into tshuva. Ubochon kamei, and the yitten cry before Hashem, kibro debochi kamei avoi, as a small child crying before his father. Maksiv, what does the Pasuk say about this? It says, Vehine na'ar boiche, and the child is crying. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Kivon de bochi, as soon as this child, as soon as Yidden cried to Hashem in showing the remorse for averos that they did, Mistabri kol gzerin bishin di almi, this smashes completely all harsh degrees. All negative decrees against Klal Yisrael are smashed by these tears. Maksiv, as the Pasuk says, Vatachmoil olav. The Pasuk says that as soon as Basio, Basparoi, saw Moshe Rabbeinu crying, she saw him crying, Vatachmoil olav. Immediately she had pity on him. She had rachmonis on him. The Zohar HaKadosh says, as soon as Hashem sees a Yid crying, Isar aloi barachmim. Hashem is aroused with kindness and pity towards the Yid, umarachim le, and Hashem shines this rachmonis on to the Yid. Vatoimer, and Basio said, Mialde hoivrim ze, this is a Yid. Meaning, what does Hashem say? Ze de'inon rachiliba. Hashem says, these are my children who have this soft heart. V'loy mi'aldei ho'akum. This is not a goyish child. De'inon kshi kdal u'kshi liba. The goyim who are by nature hard-hearted. They're stiff, they're stone-hearted. Rachmon al-Etzlan. Mi'aldei ho'ivrim rakei liba me'avon u'me'imohon la'asvo kamei moreon. This is a Jewish child who draws this soft heart from his father and mother, from the Avos HaKadoshim and the Imois, who had this Lev Bosor, this Breslov. Breslov is Lev Bosor. They had this soft heart that allowed them to pour out their hearts to Hashem. And these Yidden are doing tshuva, they're returning to Hashem. Vatikro es aim hayeled. The Pasuk continues to say that Basio went to call the mother of this child. She went to call the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does this refer to? Shehoisa boiche, because she is also crying. The mother of this child was also crying at this time. Yocheved, when she was forced to put Moshe Rabbeinu into this box in the river, she was also crying to Hashem in tefillah, begging Hashem that this child should be protected, that Moshe Rabbeinu shouldn't chas v'shalom drown, or shouldn't fall into the wrong hands. The Zohar Kodesh says, what does this refer to? Hahu dechsev. This is what the pasuk says in Yirmiyah. Koil barama nishmo nehi bechi samrurim rochel mavakal boneha. That a voice cries forth barama, the voice of the mother of the Jews, rochel imenu, cries forth nehi bechi samrurim, with bitter tears, rochel mavaka al boneha. Rochel imenu, who represents the mother of the Jews, the Shechina, she is crying over her children. We know that the first letters, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, that the first letters of Rochel, Mevako, Al Boneho, makes up the word Mairev. We know that the Shechina, the Gemara says, Me Oilam Loizozo Shechina Mikoisel HaMa'arovi. Marov represents the resting place of the Shechina. So that this Posuk, Rochel, Mevako, Al Boneho, she's the one who represents the Shechina. So when the Posuk says that the mother is crying also, the Zohar Kodesh says, Hu Beiche, this child cries, Ve'em Hayelad Hi Beicha, and the mother of the child, the Shechina itself, cries. When a Yid cries before Hashem in his Spedidus or Tefillah, the Shechina also starts crying for him before Hashem. So now it's two parties that are crying, the Jew that's crying and the Shechina that's also crying before Hashem. Bizchus b'chi de'eim hayelet shehi rochoyel. The Zohar HaKadosh says now, Omar Rabbi Yehuda said, Lezimna da'osi la'osed lavoi, in the future, right before Mashiach is going to come, Mike Siv, what does the Pasuk say? B'vechi yavoyu uvisa. Hashem says the Yidden are going to come to me at that time with tears. The Yidden are going to cry to Hashem, and with pleading, with their tefillos, I will lead them out of Golus. The Zohar Kodesh says, what does this pasuk mean? When it says the Yidden are going to come with tears, with the zechus of the tears of the mother of Klal Yisrael, which is represented by this term, Rochel, that's one of the nicknames of the Shechina, Yavoyu v'yiskanshin min Golusa, the Yidden will come and will be gathered up from Golus. There'll be this Mekabe. It's Nidchei Am Yisrael. Hashem is going to gather up all of us, Bnei HaGoyle, those of us who are in Golus. The Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yitzchak said, Purkono di Yisrael loitalia elo bibchi. The redemption of the Yidden depends only on tears. Listen to what we're saying here. This is no fooling around. It says loitalia elo bibchi. The only thing it depends on, it's not tzitzis, it's not tefillah, the only thing it depends on is these tears. Now this is not chas v'shalom to negate the other mitzvahs or limud ha-Torah, but you see how much stress is being put on this. Purkono di Yisrael loitalia elo bibchi. Kadishtalmun v'yichlun bichi demois. Debocha Esav kamay ovoi. When the tears that Esav Harosha cried before his father are going to be used up, meaning there'll be enough tears of Klal Yisrael to outshine and to outweigh and to eliminate the tears of Esav HaRosha that he cried before his father. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, Vayisa Esav Koiloi Vayeif, that Esav HaRosha picked up his voice and he cried to Hashem. Ve'inon damin achisu liYisrael begalusei. It's these tears of Esav HaRosha that brought the Yidden into Golus. It's these tears that forced us to have to go into Golus. Kivon deyichlon inon damin bebchiyad Yisrael. As soon as the tears of Esav HaRosha will be destroyed by the tears of Bnei Yisrael, yifkun migalusei. That's when the Yidden will be zeichet to exit from this golus, from exile. Hahu dechsev. This is what the pasuk means when it says in Yirmiyah, bevchi yavoyu uvisachnunim ayvilem. It's with tears that the Yidden are going to be able to come forth, coming out of golus. It's this tears and tefillah that's going to smash, that's going to destroy, nullify the tears of Esav HaRosha. And as we said earlier, it's these tears that are able to nullify any harsh decrees against Bnei Israel. We said those exact words. It's these tears that are going to be able to eliminate the golus. They're going to be able to take the Yidden out of any tzara that we're in, Rachmona Litzlan. Now, just to pause here for a second, the Sifrei Kabbalah point out other remozim in this pasuk, Vatiftach. How do we know Vatiftach is the Shechina? The next word is Vatirehu. Vatirehu. She saw him. She saw Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sifrei Kabbalah point out that the word Vatirehu is actually the words that actually has in it these letters Tof Reish Aleph. V'tof reish aleph hu. She saw that the Shekhinah was with him. The Gemara says she saw that Shekhinah was on him because she saw when she opened up a box, a tremendous light went out. How is tof reish aleph the Shekhinah? Because the Arizal brings, if you take a look at the word Shekhinah, b'miloi, shin, spelled shin yud nun, chof, spelled chof pei, nun, nun vav nun, etc. Yud, Yud Vav Dalet, etc. It's exactly Begematria Tof Reish Aleph, 601, which represents the Tof Reish Aleph of Bnei Israel. The 600,000 Yidden. Aleph and Aleph are interchangeable. This number, 601, always represents the Shekhinah, which corresponds, has a one-to-one correspondence with Bnei Israel. We cry, the Shekhinah cries. Why? Because it's us 600,000 that are connected, the Shekhinah, which is this Tof Reish Aleph. These two are always working in conjunction with each other. The Yidden make a good move, the Eim HaYeled comes forth right away to help, to give support, to shed its tears. This Rochel Mevaka Al Boneho, and this is what guarantees that the Yidden are going to be taken out of Golus. Rav Nosson Zal explains in Likutei Halachos, now we understand why the Torah tells us that there was one person in Jewish history who had Nevuah, who had prophecy, and this person saw that they were going to fall into the hands of Esav HaRosha. Which person was this? Leah. The Gemara says that Yitzchak Avinu had two sons, and Lavan had two daughters. Yitzchak Avinu had a son, Yaakov, and Lahavdol Esav. Lavan had two daughters, Rachel and Leah. This one had an older and younger. And Leah saw Beruach HaKodesh, that she was destined to fall into the hands of Esav HaRosha. How did she combat this pull that Esav HaRosha has over a Yid? How did she combat it? The Torah says, Ve'enei Leah Rakois, that the eyes of Leah were swollen from tears. She knew that the only koyach, what's the koyach of Esav? If Esav has any koyach against the Yidden, what koyach does he have? The fact that he once cried? She knew that the way that she'll beat him is, she'll cry more than him. Or she'll cry equal, and by that she nullified, she was mevatel the koyach of the demoy shel Esav. This is how she was saved. And Rav Nosson Zal Likutei Halachos gives loads of spectacular chidushim explaining what tears are, how tears represent the sitra achra. Normally, tears represent a loss of eyesight. The Gemara says that normally when a person cries, it spoils the shavu he'ovim achar hageshem zu hara'ois shehilech achar habachi, that when a person cries, the eyesight becomes dimmed, and clear eyesight, ayin toiv, represents Yaakov Avinu. We mentioned many times, this is why it says by Yaakov Avinu, vayichi Yaakov beretz Mitzrayim shva esrei shana, vayichi yime Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu lived in total 147 years. He lived 17 years, and outside of Mitzrayim, he lived 130 years. Gives us a total of 147. Why does the Torah tell us 17 plus 130? Because we know that Esav HaRosha represents the Koyach of Ra'ayin, the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us. When Esav HaRosha came to do battle against Yaakov Avinu, he brought Arba Me'ai Sishimo, he brought 400 men. And the Meforshim tell us that these 400 men represented the Koyach of Ayin Ra, a bad ayin, ra-ayin, because the words ra-ayin are bigimatria 400 exactly. These were the 400 men that Esav HaRosha was bringing to knock out Yaakov Avinu. If Esav is ra-ayin, what is Yaakov Avinu? Tov ayin. That's why the Torah says that he lived 17 years plus 130. Toiv is 17, Ayin is 130. That's the fact, that's the Zeh Le'umaseh. That's why the Pasuk says, Toiv Ayin, Hu Yevoirach. Who is the one who is worthy to get the bracha from Yitzchak Avinu? Not the Ra'ayin, not Esav HaRosha. It's Toiv Ayin, Hu Yevoirach. It's Yaakov Avinu who is the one who is worthy of the bracha, and it's Yaakov Avinu who is worthy of giving, passing on this bracha to his children, etc., etc. Now there's much, much more to say about this. If possible, we're going to go back into the Likutei Moran just to finish this Torah, and then we'll go back to discuss questions or other items pertaining to this. Now Rabbein Azal says, V'alkin, and therefore, Kishayesh Elu Demo'is Hanal, when there are these tears that are being, when there are these tears that are being cried by these Talmidei Chachamim Amitin, these true tzaddikim who are being mechadish in Torah, and they're shedding tears in order to protect their chidushei Torah, heim oimdim kenegdon umevatlon. These tears stand as an equal opposing force to the demois of Esav Harosha, which represent these gzeirois rois, these harsh decrees against the Yidden, and they nullify these tears completely. Now, just to deviate for a second, look how Chochmas Soemes comes in so handy. Look how, if you know a little of the Kisvei Arizal or the Zohar HaKadosh, you understand the Likutei Moran so much better. The Arizal explains, based on the Zohar HaKadosh, that in Hashem's most basic name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, there are four basic gematrias that are associated with Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Four miluyim of Ekye, of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name Yud Kei Vav Kei can be spelled b'miluy different ways. For example, when it's spelled in this manner, where the Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalet, that's regular. The He is spelled He Yud. The Vav is spelled Vav Yud Vav, and the He is spelled again He Yud. This forms one of the miluyim of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei that's brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah, and it makes up a gematria of 72. Yud Vav Dalet is 20, He Yud is 15, Vav Yud Vav is 22, He Yud is again 15, giving us a total of 72. And the Arizal tells us that, the Zohar Kodesh tells us, which is Chesed. There are other miluyim. There are four miluyim of Sog, Mo, and Bon. Depending on how you spell the letters, we've been through this many times. We can hear it on other tapes or etc. We've been through this many times. There are these four miluyim of Sog, Mo, Bon, which correspond to the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei. In other words, the gematria of 72, which is the highest one, is associated, corresponds to the Yud of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The gematria of 63 corresponds to the He of Yud, the first He of Yud Kei Vav Kei. The gematria of Mo, 45, corresponds to the Vav, and so on and so forth, which means that the gematria of Sog is associated with the first He of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which represents Bina. We know, we mentioned many times, that the four letters of Yud Kei Vav Kei represent the 10 spheroids, the 10 attributes of Hashem. The first, the Yud, the Koitzoi Shel Yud, represents the Keser. The Yud itself represents Chachma. The first He represents Bina. The Vav represents the six spheroids of Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoid, Yesoid, and the last He represents Malchus. How is this? Check out the Zohar HaKadosh, the Kisvei Arizal, and some other interesting books. They'll give you all the information on this. We've discussed this before. That's not our topic for now. But basically, the first He of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which corresponds to the Milui of Sug, that He represents Bina. Now we know, we mentioned many times, that the origin of Din from Hashem originates from Bina. Why? What's the concept behind this? We know that the highest level of Hashem Kavyachol is referred to as Keser, the crown of Hashem. In the Keser, there does not exist any din whatsoever. The Keser represents the Achdus of Hashem on the highest level, the Echod on the highest level, where there's no right side or left side. There's no kindness and harshness. There it's Kulay Echod, it's Kulay Toiv, it's all good. It's only on the next level, when we get to the next levels of Chochmah and Bina, that's where you get the first concept of a right and a left, of a two. That's where it first becomes two. Keser is one, which splits out into Chochmah and Bina. Once you have two, automatically one is a right and one is a left. One is a better, one is a worse. One is a stronger, one is a weaker. The right one here is Chochmah, the left one is Bina. Under Chachma, the next sphera on the right is Chesed, as the Zohar Kodesh tells us. That's why you'll note that the word Chachma is Begematria 73, and Chesed is 72, to show us that Chachma is right above Chesed in this lineup. And under Bina, you have Gevura. There's a pasuk in Navi that says, Ani Bina Li Gevura. I am Bina, to me belongs Gevura, because Gevura is right under Bina. So that Bina is the first attribute of Hashem, which is on the left side, which is the mukar of din. It's the mukar of gvura. Therefore, this shem sug, which corresponds to the first hay of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which corresponds to Bina, this shem sug represents a concept of din. We know that in Hebrew, the verb sug, masig gvul, means not to cross a boundary. If your friend has a field and he's got fences around you, there's an isur of being masig gvul, of going into, breaking his fence, going into his area. So this term sog represents tzimtzum, represents a gvul, a boundary, a limitation, which is always associated with gevura, the concept of harshness, din, tzimtzum, constriction, versus chesed, which is an inyan of harchova, harchova sadas, poiseach es yodecho maspia l'chol chai rotzoim. Therefore, the Arizal tells us, you'll note that in the Shem Sug, what does the Shem Sug consist of? It consists of the letters Yud Kei Vav Kei, where the Yud is spelled Yud Vav Dalid, the He is spelled He Yud, just as in the Shem Ov, the Vav is spelled Vav Aleph Vav. Instead of Vav Yud Vav, like in the Shemayin Beis, here it's spelled Vav Aleph Vav, and the last He is spelled again He Yud, giving us a total gematria of 63. If you take off the letters Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei themselves, so that all that's left is the Vav Dalid of the Yud of the He, the Aleph Vav of the Vav, and the Yud of the He, the Milui of Sog is Begematria Bechia, the word Bechia exactly. In other words, Sog is 63, which is 26 plus 37. You understand? In the Milui of Sug, you have the actual letters Yud Kei Vav Kei filled out a certain way. The filling is Bigematria Bechia, exactly. Showing you that Bechia is the Mokar Hadin. This is what's associated with Bina, which is Din, which is Gevura, which is the Mokar of all Din. Now we can understand why it's this incident. When Esav HaRosha cried, that was the Mokar for all trouble. That's what unleashed a world of Din, Rachman al-Tzon, against Bnei Israel. These Meraglim instigated a wrong kind of crying. Ho-ho, you got bullets came shooting down. You got the real thing, Rachman al-Tzlan. Spectacular gzeirois that came from Hashem, Rachman al-Tzlan. Here's where you see what the Chochmas HaKabbalah is. This isn't playing computer games. This is understanding how these attributes of Hashem originate and why and what. Once you understand, now you understand that this Midah of Hashem is associated with this term, this verb in the Hebrew language referring to crying. Now you can understand how that represents Gevura, which could be taken one of two ways. We know that number one, Gevura, the left side is the problem side for the Yidden. At the same time, when you want to sweep the Gevura, the rule is always Ein Hadin Nimtak Elo Bisharoshoi. If you ever want to sweeten a din, you have to go up to the Mokar Hadin to sweeten him. Just like you have wood, you have a forest of trees. You want to chop down the forest. What do you use to chop down a forest with? An axe. What is an axe made up of? Wood. What do you hold? Wood. You use wood to chop down wood. That's the mushal that the Gemara brings. Mineu be iba lezo be narga. From the forest itself comes forth the hatchet that's going to chop down the forest. So too with the din. Within the din, we use Esav HaRosha's tool. These tears that he used against us, we use the tears in the opposite direction to nullify any din, any gzeira chas v'shalom that would come out against Bnei Israel. This is the Arizal, the Zohar Kodesh. This is on that level. Now watch how Rabbeinu Zal is going to show it from a different angle. Rabbeinu Zal explains, V'zeh oisi ois b'chia. This is why you find the letters of the word b'chia being the Rosh Teva, is the first letters of part of a pasuk in the Torah, where the pasuk says, V'hoya mispar b'nei Yisrael k'choil hayom. That the number of Yidden that are going to be, you know how many Yidden they're going to be? As many as the sand on the beaches of the ocean, on the sand, on the ocean, on the shore of the ocean. The first letters of Bnei Yisrael, Kechol Hayom, that the Yidden will be like the sand alongside the ocean, the first letters of that sentence make up the word Bechia also. Why? Rabbein Azal says, because the Zohar HaKadosh tells us, Ma choil hayam, megin min galei hayam, shelo yishtoifu oilam, just as the sand that surrounds the ocean protects the world from the waves in the ocean that would want to flood the world, that would want to chas v'shalom destroy the world. So to Cain b'nei Yisrael, megin aleihem habechiyo v'hadmois keneged gzeirois u'mois kanal. So too, for the Yidden, what protects the Yidden from the flood of gzeirois that would want to harm them? It's this bechiyo. The bechiyo is what serves as a protection against this flood of gzeirois. V'zeh, Rabbein Azal says, the bechia associated with what? The bechia associated with producing a sefer. When you want to produce a sefer of Chidushei Torah, as we said in the beginning, and in order to bring forth these Chidushei Torah, you have to cry first. When this sefer of Chidushei Torah that was initiated through tears comes into the world, that's what fixes the whole situation. Rabbein Azal says, that's why the wording in the pasuk is, v'zeh, v'hoyo mispar b'nei Yisrael k'choil hayam. The word mispar means the number. Rabbein Azal says, mispar hainu misefer. Misefer, b'chia, v'hoyo mispar b'nei Yisrael k'choil hayam. Misefer, b'chia. It's from those sforim of Chidushei Torah that are washed with tears. It's that type of sefer specifically. Haynu b'chiyo udmoy shel achidushin shebesefer shemegen aleihem kanal. That's what's gonna protect the Yidden from these waves of gzeirois rois rachmon al tzon that would want to harm the Yidden. That's the sefer. That's the kind of sefer that really, really protects the Yidden. Baruch Hashem. Now again, you note that aleph there by the words shelo yishtefu ha'ilam. The Aleph turns you to the Zohar Kodesh in Parshas Pikudei, Daf Resh Chof Hei. And again, we have a very easy piece in the Zohar Kodesh, easy for us to understand on a simple level. I'm sure there's much more depth to it, which again is going to support tremendously Rabbein Azal's words. And you'll get to hear again how the Zohar Kodesh talks about when a Yid is Zeicha to cry, what this crying does for us. The Zohar Kodesh says, Daf Reish Chof Hei Amid Beis, Parshas Pikudei, Posach Rabbi Elozar V'Omar. Rabbi Elozar opened up and said, there's a Posach in Hoshea, Capital Beis, which says, V'hoyo Mispar B'nei Yisrael, K'choil Hayom, Asher Lo Yimad V'lo Yisofer. That the count of Jews, the number of Jews that there'll be, will be like the sand of the ocean, which cannot be counted based on, because it's so plentiful. The Rabbi Elozar said, Mahu kechoel hayam, in what manner are the Yidden being compared to the sand alongside the ocean? Train gavnin inun hocha. There exist two concepts here. Rabbi Elozar says, we're going to be shown two concepts that this is referring to. Chodo, concept number one, kechoel hayam, the Yidden are compared to the sand alongside the ocean. Begin the Yamo, because the ocean, Kadsalkin Galoi Bezaf of Arugza, when the waves of the ocean rise up in anger and in turbulence, the Inun Galin Salkon Lashatve Almo, and these waves rise up to flood the world. Kadmoton Vichomon Chilo de Yamo, when these waves see the sand alongside the ocean, surrounding the ocean, miyad isbaru. Immediately these waves break, v'tovin la'achira, and they head back. Now, as this is the picture, those of us who are zeicha to live, rachmon al etzlan, in Brighton Beach here, and who have the ocean a block away, you can walk over there and see, this is the image you see. You see waves heading at you, and the minute the waves get to the sand on the shore, they simply break, they're nichna, they break, they fall down, and they wash right back out into the ocean. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Miyad isbaru v'tovin l'achayro v'ishtakhi. These waves break, they return backwards, and they are calmed. They calm down. They just blend right into the calmness of the ocean. V'lo yochlin l'shalto, and they cannot rule. They can't show any power. U'lashatfu alma, and they can't flood the earth at all. Kigavnado Yisrael, so too are the Yidden, so too are the Jewish nation, Inun Choylo de Yama. The Yidden are also called the sand alongside the surrounding the ocean. The Chadshar Amin, and when the other nations, the Inun Galayama, they are referred to as the waves of the ocean. This world is referred to as an ocean, place of turbulence. The waves in the ocean represent the other nations of the world. When these nations, Morei Derugza, the masters of Kas, Morin Dedinin Koshin, the masters of harsh Gzeirois, these guys who cause all the problems in the world, all the Gzeirois Rois in the world, Bo'en L'sholto L'shatva Alma, when they want to rule and to take over the world, to flood the world, Chomon Lahuli Israel, they see the Jewish nation, the Inun Miskashron Bekutche Berichu, that the Yidden attach themselves to Hashem, V'tovin V'isperu Kamayhu, and the Goyim go back, they recede, and they break before the Yidden, they fall down before the Jews, V'lo Yochlin L'shalto B'alma, and they cannot rule over the world. Period. This is the first concept, and we're going to hold it over here, because then the Zohar Kodesh says, Gavnachra, and the Zohar Kodesh goes into a whole explanation about this concept of being above being counted, this concept of being outside the Tzimtzum. Counting is an Indian of Tzimtzum, Gevura, etc. Again, when we say that they'll be like the sand which can't be counted is a concept of Chesed. It means they're not within a boundary, they're not within a Tzimtzum whatsoever. But basically, we see from here that the Yidden are referred to as this power that's able to knock out the waves. The Yidden are compared to this Chol Hayam, and they're the ones who stand up to block these waves from hitting. These waves come to hurt us. These waves of tears, of Esav Harosha, which is the mucker for all Gzeirois Rois, they come at us. With what do we knock it out? We knock it out with our tears. Our tears, our B'nai Yisrael, Kechol Hayam, which is Rosh Hashanah's Bechia, it's our Bechia that acts as this sand that holds back, that restrains and subdues the waves which represent the Goyim, the power of the nations of the world. Baruch Hashem. Now, in Likutei Halachos, there's mountains and mountains of Seidos explained. For example, Rav Moshe Zal starts off by explaining the fact that the Gemara and the Zohar Kodesh bring that when the world was first created, the Medrash tells us that the Mayim HaTachtonim cried to Hashem. The first tears in this world were shed by the Mayim HaTachtonim. The Medrash and the Zohar Kodesh point out this fact that the first tears that were shed in this world were shed by the Mayim HaTachtonim, that originally there was just one body of water. Then Hashem made a dividing line between the water. Hashem split the water in half, in a sense. So now there became a lower half and a higher half. The higher half was the one that was conceptually closer to Hashem. The lower half was the one that was further from Hashem. And the Mefarshim tell us actually that this Mayim HaTachtonim cried to Hashem. What was it crying? Crying that it wanted to be closer to Hashem. And Rav Moshe Zal points out, this is the mokar, this is the asid. This set the precedent that any Jew who feels far from Hashem and he wants to come close, the precedent was set that the way for a person who feels far from Hashem to come close is to cry these tears. And just as Leah, when she saw that she was destined to fall into the hands of Esav HaRosha, how did she combat it? How did she pull herself out of it? Through tears. So too, Rav Moshe Zal says, any Yid who sees himself falling, or who sees himself far from Hashem, he sees himself in the clutches of Esav, and he wants to get out, the secret, the most powerful, potent weapon that a Yid has, is this Ve'enei Leia Rakois, these tears. That if a Yid is zeichet to shed tears in tefillah, that can do so much, that crashes through. If a Yid did hundreds and thousands of Averois, which set up cement walls between him and Hashem, this pocket of tears comes like a laser beam, or like the most incredible bomb conceivable, and it just zaps right through any cement. You can have hundreds of walls. This crashes straight through, as the Zohar Kodesh says. There doesn't exist a gate in heaven that can withstand the koyach of tears. I mean, that's something spectacular. There's no other mitzvah, as far as I know, that this item is written about, that there's nothing whatsoever that can stand in its way. And it's this power, this Lev Nishbar, this, as we saw in the Zohar Kodesh, that word Rakoliba, that when Hashem sees a Yidden crying, not from Atzvus, there's two kinds of crying, and Rav Nosson Zal talks about this Beferish in Likutei Halachos. He says, Yesh Shnei Bechiyos. There's a Bechiyah of Esav, and there's a Bechiyah of Kiddusha. A Jew can cry a Bechiyah of Esav. What does Esav represent? Asiya. Esav is Miloshin Asiya, that low base level, where a person falls into a low level, into an Atzvus Amar Shchaira, and he cries that depressed kind of crying, the crying of a drunk, Rachmon Aletzlan, that kind of crying, that's Avi Avos HaTuma, that's Klipa, that's bad, that's what gives Koyach Esav HaRosha. We're talking about the kind of crying that comes about when a person feels how low he is, and he feels embarrassed before Hashem, but it's not a crying that's going to lead to a Gaiva, where this is going to give him an opening. This is going to be his excuse to walk out on Hashem. I'm so low that I can never come back. You so-and-so big shot. You dare to turn your back on Hashem? You have the chutzpah. I don't care what excuse you come up with. This is going to be your heter to walk out on Hashem? Wait and see what they give you for those tears. Wait to see what they give you for that depression. That's Avi Avos HaTuma. Versus the Jew who has these kind of tears, where because he feels so low and so broken, and he wants to come close, he's not giving up, he's not leaving, and the fact that he knows that that option doesn't exist for him, and this is what brings him to such a broken feeling, that the stone breaks, like when Moshe Rabbeinu struck the stone, he broke the stone, he smashed the stone, what came forth from it? Water. That's what happens when a Yid is zeichet to break his lev ho'evan. The pasuk says, v'hasiroisi mikemes lev ho'evan. Hashem says that when Mashiach comes, the lev ho'evan is going to be eliminated completely. V'nosati lochem lev bosor. I'll give you this heart of flesh, this heart that's capable of being mekayim the pasuk shifchi kamayim libeich, a heart that spills forth like water. It's soft, it's mushy, it comes forth, pouring forth in water, in tears. This is what Hashem is going to give the Yidden Lasid Lavoi, and this is what's going to bring about the elimination of Esav HaRosha. And any Jew who wants to be zeicher to get a taste of what that's going to be like, what's it going to be like when Mashiach comes, and there's going to be an Olam HaTikun, people are going to be on such a high level of Kiddusha, that Esav is going to be gone, he's going to be in a garbage can, and the Samach Mem is going to be shechted, and all Gzeirois Royos are going to be done away with? Simply join up with Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov. Rabbi Nachman, who taught this doctrine of Lev Bosor, which makes up the words Breslov. Rabbeinu Zal, who taught this Seid HaTfilah, where there doesn't exist a set of Sfarim on this earth that have in them enough information, enough hisirus and hischaskus for tefillah, as the Breslov Sforum, as Rabbeinu Zal Sforum. Any person who zeichet to pick up the Likutei Moran, the Likutei Halachos, the Likutei Tefillos, the Hishtapchus HaNefesh, there's no one in the world who can say that he knows anything about tefillah until he's zeicher to learn these Sfarim. And that's when a person first begins to understand what the Zohar HaKadosh is talking about, and what the Navi is talking about, what all these Sfarim HaKadoshim are talking about. It's Rabbeinu Zal, who was the master HaTfila, the Baal Tfila. Just like we said, Chachma is over Chesed, that's what shows that Chochmah is the master of Chesed. Rabbeinu Zal, whose name Rabbi Nachman ben Fega, is Bigamatria 516. We know that Tefillah is Bigamatria 515. Rabbeinu Zal is the master of Tefillah. He is the Baal Tefillah. The Baal, Vahu Yimshal Boch, the Baal is the one who's supposed to be above the Isha. Isha Yiras Hashem Hi Tishalal. If Tefillah is called a female, a woman, then the Tzadik Emes is called the Baal Tefillah. He's the master, he's the one above Tefillah, he's the one, Rabbeinu Zal said, that the reason why he came to this world was to teach Tefillah. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal taught the Seudos HaTorah, which was the epitome of Torah. Rabbeinu Zal came to the world to teach the Seudos HaTefillah, to teach Jews on our low level, people who live in the sewers of the 1980s, where this whole world is one big sewer, and want to find a way to climb out of the sewer, and want to find a way to protect ourselves from the waves of Gzeirois Rois that are headed towards us, where the Gemara says that the Tanoim were mispalel, deyesi v'lo yachmine, let Mashiach come and I shouldn't be there to see it, because they foresaw that in those days there's going to be incredible waves that are going to be coming at the Yidden, and how many Yidden are going to be able to survive those waves, and that's why they were even afraid to be around at that time. We, who weren't asked, we weren't given a choice, we're here, and none of us has permission to commit suicide, so we're here now, and we're expecting Moshiach momentarily, and the waves are flying at us from all sides. Any Yid who wants to be zeche to protect himself, he wants to set up this chel hayam, he wants to set up this power of Bnei Yisrael kechel hayam, this protection that the waves shouldn't be able to knock him over, has to try to be zeche to tefillah bishleimus. And tefillah bishleimus is when the tefillah is with tears. Now Rabbeinu Zal warns that a person should not concentrate on this when you're davening. When you're davening, you don't think that I want to cry. You daven with the utmost of tmimus and sincerity. And if you'll daven that way, the tears will come naturally and it'll be the right kind of tears. If you try to force it, Rabbeinu Zal says, number one, it won't come, and if it comes, it'll be fake tears, it'll be baloney. The key to this is to being zeche to daven the way Rabbeinu Zal prescribes, with the utmost of pshitas and tmimus, and if a person will be honest with himself, he'll be confessing his sins honestly before Hashem, and talking openly about how low he really is, the bechi will come natural, and then he'll be zeche to see that he has a weapon, that there's nothing in the world that can withstand the koyach of this weapon. Halavai, we should be zeche to take the advice of the Nachal Meivea Mekor Chochma, the one who produced these sforim that were produced with tears. These sforim, the Likutei Tfilois, those that found the original copy of Likutei Tfilois, of which we have some pictures, the pages were actually soaked with tears, where in some places they weren't even able to read the words. It was hard to read the words because it was so watered. The pages were watered with the tears of Rav Nosson Zal. Any person who zeche to say Tfilois from that sefer Likutei Tfilois, or who zeichet to learn the limud of Likutei Moran, the Kisvei Arizal, these other Sforim HaKadoshim, which represent the Gemara, Shas Bavli, Shas Yerushalmi, where each and every one of those Tanoim cried plenty before they were zeichet to bring forth those Chidushei Torah. It's the learning of these Sforim and the practicing of the Eitzes that are found in these Sforim that'll help a person be zeche to be on this level, to achieve the complete protection from these Gzeirois Rois, from the whole Koyach of the Sitra Achra, the Umay Soilam, and be zeche to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Mikdash, Merav Yameinu, Amen V'Yamein.
Amen.
If the person wants to put the shalom in the seif,
100%. In other words, there's no question at all that it's a hairline between this Avi Avoy Satumana, you just have to force yourself to say, depressed, I'm not gonna let this push me away from Hashem. If I feel so broken, that's all the more reason why I have to come back. Why I better start right now before Chas V'Shalom I go too far, you know, that kind of thing. Rabbeinu Zal says that there is a bechia, there is a level of simcha which is also associated with tears. Now, a person could be very happy in his despite of this, and the happiness will lead into tears. Just like at a physical wedding, you've seen people at a simcha cry. Tefillah is simcha. The pasuk says, "Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha," and Ivdu avoida refers to tefillah. The Gemara says that on three things the world stands: Torah, avoida, avoida is tefillah. No question, right? Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. But Rabbeinu Zal says, in the simcha, there's a pasuk that says, "B'simcha yegilun kol hayoyim," that with Hashem's name, the Jews are ecstatic all day. That's talking about being mesameach yourself with Hashem. The first letters over there are also bechia. So that you can achieve a high in happiness, that's also tears. And those two sets of tears are identical, no shaila. Those could even be possibly higher, you know. Kaddish and Torah, and others, this is a very, very important point that our Rebbe Zechon Avrocha was very strict on, that in order for a person to be able to be Mechadish and Torah, especially in the realm of Gematrios, things like that, a person has to first know very, very thoroughly the Sifrei Zohar HaKadosh, the Kisvei Arizal, those Sforim, you know, which have all the Yesodos. In other words, this is not the kind of thing that a person is permitted to do on their own whatsoever, Chas V'Shalom, because like Reb Chaim Vital Zal brings in the Hakdama to the Kisvei Arizal, in this item it's very, 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 very easy to make a mistake. It could look to you like it's logical and the numbers fit everything, and you could be totally south, you could be totally wrong. These are the words of Reb Chaim Vital Zal, who is the Talmud Mavruk of the Arizal, that this is very dangerous, and a Yid should not do this unless it's authorized by one who's capable of giving that kind of authorization. By one who's capable of giving that kind of authorization.